Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerlux's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerlux partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxvip.com.
Welcome to the Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Lou Half, and Hattie Cotmore. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
How's everyone's weekends?
Mine was so fun. I had a wedding, so I watched zero TV, but had the best time. It was slightly difficult outfit-wise because it was in London and it was very grey and cold, and I was pre-warned to bring a knit, and I was like, oh God, a knit to a wedding. But I actually ended up wearing one, and it was great. So, yeah.
It's always really hard when you know the weather's not going to be nice, but it is technically spring.
I know.
You can't wear like a winter party dress or black or velvet or something like that, but at the same time, it's cold.
And I just chose to just not listen to the weather. I was like, it will be fine and I will wear something summery. And then literally on the morning, I was like, okay, slightly need to backtrack now. I was like, can I wear cycling shorts under a dress?
You could have done. That's another option. How's everyone else's weekends? Heather?
I did some cleaning. Last week on the podcast, I said I was going to the weekend before and didn't, and I've actually done it.
So well
I've
done. Really good. What kind of cleaning?
Just everything, like the shower plugs, you know, all the horrible bits you really can't be bothered to get involved with most of the time. I've done it.
Good for
I
you.
Feel great.
Okay, well, we are going to talk about decluttering later,
we will
come to you on that. Hattie, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Jane the Virgin.
Oh,
have any of you seen it?
I think I've seen it on Netflix.
So funny. So the new season's just started, but it's on weekly.
On Netflix weekly?
Yeah, on Netflix. But yesterday I was a bit hungover, so I went back to season one. You know when you just need something, like, you know what happens. But it's one of those shows that makes me laugh and cry. Like, the storyline is so ridiculous. It's about this 23-year-old who is raised religiously, so she's saving herself for marriage, goes to the doctor, and is accidentally, artificially inseminated with someone's sperm and gets pregnant.
That's outrageous.
The weirdest plotline. It's so hard to explain because the show, I think it's season five now, and that's kind of not the main plot anymore. So much happens.
I was going to say, how do they stick to that? Is it about her losing her virginity then, or no?
Sort of, but also her boyfriend, whose child it isn't, is a detective, and then there's sort of like this drug lord that he's after, and then it's also about her family and her meeting her dad, who she didn't grow up with. And it's based on telenovelas, so it's very like dramatic, over the top.
And does it make fun of that genre, or is it part of it?
Kind of, yeah. So she's obsessed with them, which is sort of how where it comes from. So it's sort of making fun of it in that it's obviously not very realistic, or you would hope it's not very realistic, but kind of works at the same time. But it's very, very difficult to explain, but everyone should watch it.
Worth watch. Okay.
It's hilarious.
Well, speaking of comedy series, I've gone back and started Veep again, which I started when it first, you know, Sky have box sets.
Yeah.
So when it was first a box set on Sky, I started it, and then they do this really mean thing where they like take it off for a year.
Yeah.
And so you have to just like sit around and wait. So I went back to the beginning of it, and like, I'm a massive Seinfeld fan, so I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And I also love Armando Iannucci, who writes In the Thick of It.
Yeah.
It's basically, if you've watched The Thick of It, which is the British version, it's exactly the same. Like, the format's the same, the jokes are very similar, but it's really nice to see that done in an American way, because the format is so British. Then seeing that applied to American comedy, it's a bit like Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's got that kind of real dryness to it, and it's just so brilliant. There's a lot of familiar faces. If you watch Arrested Development, it's got the guy who plays Buster in it. Yeah, some real kind of comedy greats in the mix, where I'm up to right now, Patton Oswalt's guest starring, and it's just brilliant. So dry, Fry's so witty. She's amazing in it. And it's just so bingeable. Like, once you're into a comedy, you can just whack them out, can't you? So I've watched so many.
I've never seen Veep, but you've just described all the shows I love. Yes. So I'm definitely going to get on board.
You would definitely really enjoy it. And anyone who's into political satire as well, it will be right up your street because it pokes fun at the institution, let's say. Heather, this might be a story for you. We wrote a piece on the best European music festivals taking place this summer. You probably wrote this, didn't you?
Yeah.
The best European music festivals taking place this summer. So obviously we've got a pretty good roster here in the UK, but if you did fancy something further afield or perhaps a bit sunnier, then these could be for you. So Heather, hit us. Where should we all be going for some good music this summer?
There are loads of different ones. It depends what you're into, really. There are some outside Berlin that are kind of like Melt Festival. It's kind of electronic music and dance music. Basically, you could go to any of the big ones in any country this year, and they all seem to have Robin and The Cure playing the headline slots. So if you're into those guys, you'll see them at any festival across Europe.
Interesting.
But, now, what I like about going abroad for festivals is, A, yeah, there's no mud because it's not raining. Mm-hmm. And B, they kind of do things differently. Here in the UK, the bands start at 12 and kind of go on till about 10 o'clock, whereas abroad, you kind of have the day to yourself, so you can go... If you go to, say, Primavera Sound in Barcelona, you can go swimming or go to the sea, enjoy a city break, and then it doesn't start till about 7 o'clock at night. So you then have your evenings with all the music that goes on much later. So it's just a nicer way of doing it, I think.
You get a holiday out of it as well.
You do get a holiday out of it. I just think sometimes with UK festivals, it can feel like a bit of a slog when it's 3 days from, like 12 until whenever you want to go to bed for 3 days solid. There isn't really anything to do apart from... go and watch bands. There's no escape from the festival site.
Yes.
So I think it's quite nice to do it differently.
Interesting. Hattie, you're a festival goer?
I haven't been to one abroad before. I like the ones in the UK. I've done Leeds Fest a couple of times. SW4, I live in Clapham, so that's just the best.
You can't
roll back into bed.
But are these ones that you don't have to sleep overnight for?
Leeds, you do. SW4, you don't. And that's kind of why I like it, because it's literally around the corner from my house. So it's nice that you're not staying in a tent, which camping isn't really my thing.
I feel like Leeds is a rite of passage if you're young and live up north.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
That's probably why we've both been there. Yeah. And camping, I'm sure there's no other option, really.
Although I think I am going to try the camping side of it again this year. I'm looking at going to Boardmasters in Newquay, which looks really cool.
What's different about it?
Well, I don't know if I'll do all the day activities, but you can like go surfing, there's yoga, like that kind of thing, and then the music as well.
Okay.
And I love Cornwall as well, so by the sea, I think it would be really
if you
nice.
Get Boardmasters on a sunny weekend, it can feel like you're abroad.
There's a bit of a trend for that, isn't there? Festivals now that are less only about the music. And have more. What is the other one?
Wilderness is about food.
Is it? Dream.
They always have Michelin-starred chefs there kind of doing these feasting tables.
Amazing.
That's the only one I've been to and I absolutely loved
it. It's one of the best.
The music is definitely a huge part of it, but it's kind of secondary to all the other things that you can do as well. And it's also very family-friendly.
Really?
So it's kind of really spread out, but not sort of in a way that Glastonbury is, which is so vast. So I didn't really think I was much of a festival girl, and I probably can't say I am from but I really enjoyed it. It was great fun.
Would you be tempted to do another kind of festival in the UK?
I would, in a similar vein to that. I think the whole 4 days camping, sort of 12 till 12, I would just be so exhausted. And I said, that's just not really my vibe. And I think I'd start to sort of resent it a bit. But I can totally appreciate, like, some of our friends are obsessed and so many people absolutely love it. And I imagine the atmosphere and the energy is amazing when so many people are watching you. It's like when you go and see live music, it's just the best feeling. But then sad also when you're probably at the back and you just see everyone watching it through their phones.
Oh, I know.
It really upsets me. It's depressing. Has she attempted to go abroad at all?
I would like to. And actually, I'm kicking myself a bit after reading this roundup because I actually did my year abroad in Bilbao. And everyone says BBK Live is really, really good. So I should have taken advantage of living there at the time. But I love the idea of just having some guaranteed sun at a festival, because the rain can ruin it a bit.
It really can.
Definitely. Heather, any festivals on the agenda for this summer?
Plotting, potentially, haven't booked the days off yet, but to go to Flow Festival, because I really want to go to Helsinki anyway.
Cool.
And they've got, sounds, from what I've heard from other people, one of the best festival is called Flow.
In what way?
Again, I think it's just that nice mix because you can go do whatever in Helsinki, go swimming, go exploring, and it's always got an amazing lineup as well. So Robin and The Cure, of course, both of those are playing, and then Tame Impala, and then they have quite a lot of rap and hip hop as well. So it's a nice, varied festival. They've also got an opera stage for the first time this year. So it's just really, there's something for everybody. Yeah. You could go with a big group of friends, yeah, and someone's always going to find something they like.
Fun. And is that a camping one?
No, so it's in the city. So yeah, you can stay in an Airbnb.
Ideas.
Explore the city by day and then go and see The Cure at night. Sounds perfect.
And are you a Glastonbury person? Have you been?
I've never been. I'm not bothered. It's too big from what I've heard. I don't really want to walk 2 hours to get back to my tent. Mm. I'd find it too overwhelming. I already, like, kind of, when I go to festivals, I kind of beat myself up because I'm like, there's three bands on at the same time that I really want to go and see, and you're trying to kind of weave between the stages, I think, at Glastonbury.
Too much.
Yeah. And I think I don't know what I'm missing, so I'm sure it's absolutely amazing, but because I haven't been, I'm kind of like, I don't know what I'm missing, so I'm happy to miss out.
Fair. Lou, would you be tempted?
No.
Not at all.
I think if I could go for the day, great, or if I could just go
in a helicopter.
Exactly.
Just do it the VIP way.
Yeah, sleep elsewhere, but I'm actually quite happy watching it from the comfort of my own home. Sad as that sounds.
Hattie?
I would love to do it. I think it's a bucket list thing.
I think it's a British rite of passage.
I just don't think you can imagine what it's like, and that's why I want to do it. I mean, I know you're never going to get to the front of any stage, I think. Mm. That's the one thing that puts me off.
Yeah.
But just for the experience as a whole, not just the music, I would really like to do it.
Yeah. I feel the same, and I would actually quite happily camp. It's more just the faff on arrival and departure. Yeah. I cannot... Yeah. The idea of trying to get out of there with all those people or arrive and set up and just finding your tent and just I would love the kind of festival side of it, but not the logistical side.
I'm just picturing you with a wheelbarrow. Apparently it takes about 2 hours to get to the campsite.
And also finding your tent. Like, I generally don't understand how that works.
Yeah. Just need to save up and go boutique, basically.
Or VIP. Anyone listening who can hook us up. Be very happy. Heather, can you still book these festivals?
You can. The first one is at the end of this month, but the rest are going on up until September, and they've all got tickets. And the other thing about European festival tickets, they're so much cheaper. You can get a really amazing 3 or 4 day one for about €80, whereas here those like 300 quid, or even the smaller ones. Reading and Leeds are over 200 now. So yeah,
that's another thing. I think I'd rather put that money towards a hot holiday.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, if you are interested in going, then do check out Heather's piece on the site. Okay, well, if you haven't got your summer holiday lined up, then perhaps it's time to think about centre parks. Never thought I'd say that. Our contributor Helen Whitaker wrote a piece about why centre parks was the ultimate destination for her and her family. Anyone here been to centre parks?
I have. It was a regular for my family back in the day.
Is it really?
My brother's birthday is Halloween, which also falls in that October half term.
Cool.
So that would be his place of choice to celebrate his birthday. And we'd go down, the four of us, we'd pack up our bikes onto the back of the car, and it was so much fun, and I absolutely loved it. We were Bristol based, so we used to go to Longleat, and you have sort of this beautiful forest. There's the swimming pool complex, there's tennis courts. So it's kind of just a nice, like, active family holiday. Day, but also really fun for kids as well.
And is it all activity all the time? If you're not a sporty person, is there stuff you can do?
Totally. I think that's almost what was great about it when we were younger, is that you can kind of get as involved as you want to. So, you know, I'd be at the roller disco, my brother would be having tennis lessons, and my mum and dad were just chilling, you know.
Okay.
Also, you have your cabin, so you can just rest up there, watch telly, watch films, whatever, go for just a walk. I mean, the swimming pool is a real highlight.
Mm-hmm.
The River Rapids at the age of 7 is like,
dream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably if I went on it now, I'd be like, this is so small and not scary at all. I'm really not into roller coasters, but water parks I'm obsessed with.
Completely the same.
It was just always so much fun. And I think, you know, when you're outside doing exercise, you just feel really like fresh.
Yeah.
I loved it.
There's something quite nice about the fact that sort of everyone's just riding their bikes everywhere.
Yeah.
It feels like you're in some kind of other parallel universe. Mm. You feel really cut off from the outside world. world. It is like being in this bubble.
Heather?
No, although I am going in a couple of months because it's my cousin's 30th, and basically I'm the only one of my cousins and sisters who hasn't had kids yet. So it's a very good sort of family friendly place. So we're getting two different cabins, and then the boys who are aged sort of 6 months till three now can kind of all be in a home environment during the night and kind of keep to their routines that way while the rest of us kind of have fun downstairs. But in the day, we can go cycling, go swimming, just run around.
I think it is quite a fun hen and stag destination as well. I think sort of being in that combined complex, but then, you know, you're in your cabin, so you can kind of do your own thing. You can bring drink, you can bring food, so you're very self-sufficient. But then there's also restaurants, cafes and things like that.
They've all got spas now as well, which make another good hen destination.
And what exactly is the level of luxury? That's what I can't quite work out. Where does it sit between Butlins and Limewood?
It's quite expensive, and I think there's a range of options. So I think you can get quite sort of basic ones, but then you can get these kind of luxury sort of two bed or one bed ones where you've got a hot tub. And
I think Soho Farm has been likened to an upmarket centre parks with this whole like bikes and spa and pool and that type of thing, cabins. I'm not sure I would go now just because I've got such a lovely memory of it in my childhood. I don't really want to ruin that, but such a good option for families now. So
interesting.
Okay, I'll let you know how it goes.
I was going to say, Heather, make sure that when you've had your weekend there, you come back on the podcast and tell us all about it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Let's talk now about decluttering your home. Heather, it's going to be your time to shine again. We spoke to a declutter expert and professional organiser, Kate Ibbotson, at atidymind.co.uk to find out how we can give our home a healthy sort out once and for all. And this piece is amazing because she really has broken down. It's not just your normal, you know, bedrooms and bathrooms. She's got like loft, garage, cellar rooms I'm sure we all dream of having one day.
A playroom was one of them.
So yes, it is for homes of all shapes and sizes. So let's start with the basics. Everyone good at clearing out or not really?
I love a good clear out. I find it so therapeutic. I kind of do it maybe every 2 months, I'd say, and just literally go through like all of my drawers, my cupboards, go through my clothes, everything. And I do get quite sentimental about some things, so I can tend to keep like a letter or a ticket or a bit of paper that had one small interesting thing on it. And then it's a good thing being like, okay, I haven't looked at this in a really long time. Clear out. And there's something so satisfying about seeing big bin bags of clothes, rubbish, paper, whatever, and being like, this is all coming out of my home.
Yeah. Hattie?
I'm quite a hoarder in the way that you were saying of, I get quite attached to things, even if they aren't actually that sentimental, but I also do love that purge where you just bin everything. Yeah. So I kind of am a bit of both. Like, I'll hoard for a few months and then I just cull everything. And I'm definitely nearing that point because my wardrobe is starting to sort of spill onto the floor. So I definitely need to.
Can I tell you my problem? I don't hoard for sentimental reasons, but I have this fear of like not having things you need. So my drawers that are overflowing are my drawers with like adapters and medicines and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And hair clips, you know, just practical things. And I'm scared to get rid of all of that stuff.
Yeah. Because
I feel like I need it.
That what if feeling.
Yeah. That what if feeling. Yeah. But I suppose they only take up like two drawers. They're not, they're, it's not like my whole
But those
house,
things but. Do add up. Like we just got new bedside tables and previously we had three big drawers and the new ones have only got one small one. So I'm like, okay, well, I've got 2.5 drawers of content to now replace. And they are all those things. It's kind of old phones and adapters and chargers. And like,
you don't even know what they charge, but no, one day you might need them.
And a debobbler and an old camera.
But I still don't know what the answer is. Yeah. Short of just organising those drawers. Yeah. Maybe they're hard to shut. But short of organising them, I feel like if you want to feel prepared, maybe I'm just a bit doomsday about.
Maybe those. Just think, okay, when was the last time I used this? If it's not been in 3 months, get rid of it.
True. Good advice.
This piece does say, though, as long as you have got all those things in one place, that's fine. I think the problem with the clutter thing is when it's just strewn all about the place. So at least you've got
that's
the first
contained.
Part.
Yeah. Well, I didn't talk about all the other clutter in the That's just one thing. I'm actually quite good. Apart from clothes, obviously notwithstanding. But the thing that I found really interesting in this piece is the bathroom. Because I have been meaning to have a really good bathroom drawer clean out for a really long time. Obviously we're really lucky, we get a lot of products here, but I find that means I use about 4 things and I have much more stuff than necessary. Do you guys have regular clear outs in your bathroom?
I'm getting quite good, or have become quite good, I suppose, at only opening things that I need to use and putting the rest somewhere else. So it's not like I've got like 5 serums on the go at any one time and 5 face creams. I've just got one of everything I need, so I suppose as soon as I've finished one, I'll open a new one, and that seems to be working rather than having tons of stuff
and
everywhere.
Then, but how do you know what you have? Do you keep like an inventory? I've done that with my sheets and my towels. I have a note on my phone of how many I have.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Because it gets really
in case of what?
Yeah, that's, I want to know too.
I think just so I know, just because we don't have like an even number. It's not like there's 2 for me and 2 for Ben or something. There's like 8 towels and there's like 3, but you know, we've got a lot for our engagement party and that kind of stuff, so it just helps me know what we have and what we keep available. I don't know, it just makes me feel organised. Lists make you feel organised, right?
I do love a list.
Right, yeah. So I found that really helpful. So no, I'm guessing based on the laughter, I know you don't keep an inventory of your bathroom cabinets.
No, I don't, no.
Okay.
Another really good thing is to check, you know, how it says the months that you can keep a beauty product for on the back. So you can then tell, like, if it's 6 months, 12 months, whatever, if you haven't used that time, bin it.
Hattie, are you any good at clearing out those old products?
Yes, I actually do the same as Heather. So I have a lot of things that I just have unopened, and my system is they're in my bathroom cabinet. Mm-hmm. And then everything that's opened, I have a basket in my bedroom, and I just have, like, all my makeup and the things that I'm using all the time in that. Okay. So I know what I'm using and what I'm not. And then with that kind of thing, I feel like you have to throw it away.
Yeah.
You know when it's done.
Yes.
And I can't keep it if it's like a bit gross.
It's a good system. But when you get new things, don't you want to just try them?
Yeah.
I do
sometimes.
You're quite good at resisting.
Yeah. Depends what it is.
I have like my standard go-tos and then like the things I dabble with. I'm not ready to sort of put my normal skincare regime down and start something else. Yeah. So I just sort of do a little bit of it, and those are the bits where it didn't really work for me.
Or like a face mask, which you don't need every day, but you still like to play with every now and again.
I do have a lot of face masks on the go, actually.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. What about organisation systems? So you say you put things away. This piece obviously goes into kitchens, bedrooms. Are you guys a fan of labelling or different sections for things? Like, how do you keep your house in order, Lou?
In terms of clothes, I just have to have a regular refold. So on Sunday, I literally pulled out everything in my wardrobes, refolded it, because sometimes you kind of shove things in. And then when it sort of looks orderly, it makes me feel orderly. So even though I'm not maybe throwing anything away, or, I mean, my wardrobe is quite colour-coded.
Because you've got so many colourful clothes.
Yeah, with the like 2 or 3 colours that I wear. But I find that really satisfying to look at. Yeah. So.
Right, what about your kitchens? Do you have regular clear-outs? Do you check your sources for sell-by dates, the fridge? How do you keep on top of that?
I'm quite bad at that, although I do love a fridge clean. Like, you know, when you take out all the shelves,
that is satisfying.
Wash them all. I do love doing that, but my cupboard is quite messy. When we first moved into the house, I had such a good system, like shelves for different things, you know, like a spice shelf.
Yeah.
I had a corner that was just for tea, but it's just sort of, I don't know what happened to the system. Yeah, but it's just not working.
How does it work? Because you share with quite a lot of people, don't you?
Yeah.
So how does it work with your fridge? Does everyone have a shelf? Or?
Yeah, so we have 3 shelves.
Right.
Because we have 2 fridges between 9 of us. So me and George have 3.
You live with 9 people?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like that's a topic.
How many bathrooms do you have?
4.
Oh, okay. You have an ensuite,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we've got an ensuite. Fine. And also it means all that kind of keeping the kitchen clean is shared between 9
yeah.
people.
Yeah. So, do people actually do it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually it's different scary. Than
but, no, exactly, yeah. Which was my worry. I thought people were still going to act like students, but actually, because it's quite a new kitchen, I think everyone actually wants to keep it clean because it looks nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're quite lucky in that respect.
And do you get on with everyone? I know
yeah.
it's a tangent, but it's
yeah.
just fascinating.
Really,
yeah.
really well.
Good.
We're all actually really good friends now.
That's so nice.
Which is so great. To say we're all strangers when we first moved
yeah,
into the house,
amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Aww. The best
fun. Heather, organisation in the kitchen?
I'm quite, well, good or bad, I don't know. I tend to just kind of buy stuff when I need it, so I don't do like a big online food shop ever. I don't have a car, so I don't kind of buy loads of stuff, so I tend to just be using it as I go. Mm. So apart from things like kind of soy sauce and those kind of things that lurk in the back of the fridge, I'll kind of keep an eye on those, but to be honest, I tend to use the same ingredients quite a lot, so chances are they don't tend to go out of date. The only thing I was going to say, I'm very good at getting rid of clothes. I took a load of stuff to the Dog's Trust a few months ago and got a nice letter the other week saying I'd made them £67.
Oh,
so that was nice.
Aww,
all those
nice
dogs. But books are the things that me and Tobes are terrible. We can't part with.
I think that's okay when they're like nice literature books. Mm-hmm. I have loads of crappy books. Like when you get engaged, people buy you a lot of books about
really?
Like being a bride. Or,
really?
Yeah. Just you guys wait, honestly. It's that initial like, shit, gotta buy her something. Get her a shitty book.
Yeah.
You know, people want to buy you something that's kind of bridally.
Mm, yes.
I've got like wedding planning things lying around. Like all this crap that just needs to get out of my house. And yeah, the kind of things that were kind of cute, almost coffee table-y books when you were a teenager. But now they've got to
have
go.
Have a good cleanse. You feel so much better after.
Yeah, I need to.
The thing I hoard the most is candle holders.
Oh, really?
I just cannot get rid of them. And especially if they're like, Diptyque do lovely candle holders.
Oh, they're expensive.
You know, they work as a jar. Exactly, and I don't want to part with it. So, you know, I've definitely filled them with makeup and cotton wool buds and things, but I didn't really have to do with the rest of them. Like, literally cannot bring myself to
it. Oh, no, you have to. I do the same. So I've got pens in some and I keep my toothbrush in another one. But you're going to buy a new candle at some point.
Yeah, I really need to. But yeah, that's the one thing my boyfriend is like, seriously, you do not need 9 empty jars.
Well, if you are looking for more tips on how to keep your house nice and decluttered, then do have a look at the piece on the site. Let's talk about staying sane when working from home. We all know that it's nice to get a bit of peace and quiet away from the office to just crack on with some work, but it does mean a bit of a loss of routine. So we spoke to a number of people who regularly work from home to find out how they stay sane without being in the office. Heather, I'll come to you first. You work from home one day a week. What do you do to stay sane? Or actually, is one day a week just kind of ideal?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be away any more than one, because I do actually really like working in an office. But yeah, I have to stick to a routine, so I still get up at the same time I would do normally and just kind of have an earlier coffee. And to be honest, I put BBC Breakfast on as I do normally, but get to watch it until 9:05. And I just start work earlier. I get way more done because I kind of start earlier and still finish at the same time. Mm. So I find like it's a good day to get loads done. But I try and go for a walk at lunchtime, but it often just doesn't happen.
Exercise is one of the points on this piece. And I think that's so important. Sometimes I drive to the office and I actually don't like doing it because you don't move the whole day and it's so unproductive.
If I do go for a walk, it'll be at like 7 p.m. or something rather than during the day.
And it is better for your brain activity, isn't it, to get it done?
Precisely. So yeah, I'm not very good really. Maybe I think if I work from home every day, I'd definitely have a different routine, but I think I just try and use it as a catch-up day. But I don't snack really badly, which is another thing in the piece. They say that step away from the cupboard, purely because we don't have any in the house.
Do you do your 5-2 days when you're working from home?
No, because
that'd be harder,
right? That'd be really hard. So yeah, Wednesdays is a day off. But one thing I do is make a really nice lunch on a Wednesday because I can.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably the one thing. Instead of going for a walk, I'll spend kind of 30 minutes making lunch and eating it and then go back.
It also gives you ample time to make a nice dinner as well. Like most days when I'm in the office, I don't get home till 8-ish. And then the last thing you want to do is actually make a dinner. So when you're at home, and if you can put your pen down at like 7, but actually be in the house.
Yeah, both of those things, definitely. So
nice.
Not a 5-2 day on a Wednesday.
Lou, when you work from home, what do you do to stay
safe? I think having a really good routine, as you said, is sort of wake up at the same time, get dressed, brush your teeth, kind of do all the things so you're sort of ready for the day and sit at a desk if you can. So it feels like you're sort of ready to go. My boyfriend used to freelance, and he would, rather than work from home, always go to a communal workspace or go to a cafe, because he felt like he just had to get out of the house. Because then also when he then finished work, you're then back at home, and then you're like, okay, right now I finished for the day. Whereas I think sometimes you can just carry on into the evening and not really separate that sort of work and home life. So I think that's really important. But if I do, I'm just constantly in the fridge. I'm constantly hungry. And I think when you're at work, you don't have the luxury of having everything so with you. So that's something that I would really struggle with.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll have a 3 o'clock bowl of pasta. Let's do it.
It's been so 5 minutes since I ate something. I better. Yeah. I think. So
true. Hattie, obviously you have a role here that means you're quite essential in the office, aren't you? But did you ever work from home in your last job?
Sometimes, yeah. And I did quite like it, because it's kind of nice to just be by yourself and you can be really, really productive. But I do quite like that now I sort of can't work from home. And it is that you get home and you're at home, you can't keep working.
Yeah, for you in particular.
Because everything is here. And I don't have Photoshop and things at home, so I kind of can't.
Your role is limited to office time. Yeah, that is quite nice.
And that's quite good.
That
is
so the downside of being a writer, isn't it?
Yeah, you can do it everywhere, whereas I leave and I'm done most of the time. I just really like that. I think as well I'd miss the routine of coming into the office every day, and I walk to work, so going back to exercise, I think I would really miss that. Just like getting out of the house straight away in the morning. I really love that.
I think you have to do what works for you as well, don't you? Like, I know all the advice obviously is to sit at your desk so you feel like you're at work, but actually for me, I find that if I particularly got something longer to write, I'm so much better at doing it when I'm comfortable. So often here I'll take like an intern laptop and sit on the sofas in the office just to feel a bit more in the zone. There's something about being at my desk that I find really creatively unproductive if it's writing that I have to do.
Really associate it with emails, for example.
I think so, yeah. And I think that's the thing, I don't check my email when I'm sitting comfortably, and it very much puts me in quite a different zone and different headspace, which I find really productive. So actually if I'm working from home, like feet up on the sofa, I'll just bash out hours without realizing anything, and that's such a nice feeling.
One thing on here that is another reason for me, but it's like, get a pet, so you have to go take it for regular walks. So I'm just reading it again, like, that's the only thing I want in life. It's not for now, but in the future. It's a good reason to get out the house.
Let's finish by talking a bit of fashion. We wrote a piece on the 7 wedding dress brands you need to know on the high street, because whilst we all know you can seriously blow the budget on a dress for your big day, you actually don't have to anymore, because there are so many amazing affordable options on the high street, aren't there, Lou?
There are loads. I actually, last weekend, was looking for a dress for a wedding. I was with my mum and we went into Ghost. They've got so many amazing options for brides, but also guest dresses as well. And both tried on so many lovely options. There was also a mother and her daughter and they were looking for bridesmaid dresses. And I think where Ghost really was that bridesmaid dress destination, now there are so many lovely guest options. And also just nice dresses as well. So I think that is such a good shout. They come in a variety of sort of different colours and prints, and depending on what sort of thing you're after.
As well as whites and creams and ivories if you want something.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's a real good go-to option that maybe people don't always think of.
Yeah, agreed. And actually, I thought I wanted a slip dress for my wedding dress, like a really simple style. I mean, it did not suit me, but if that is what you wanted, I was trying on expensive versions of that, but you just don't have to. The only reason to go expensive is for detail and added oomph. But if you want something really simple, then why not just do it on the high street? My personal favorite is French Connection. They've just so nice, isn't it? They've just, I think this is the second time they've done a bridal collection. They did one last year as well, and they are so pretty. They've got some really gorgeous shapes. They've got some kind of maxi dresses with plunging necklines, and they've got some midi styles as well, but just really feminine with a nice amount of embellishment, and they're all under £300, which, like, when you consider the cost of wedding dresses, is just unheard of.
If I saw a friend wearing one of the French Connection or self-portrait dresses or any of these, to be honest, there's no way I'd have guessed it was high street at all.
And we threw self-portrait into the mix. Obviously it's not a high street brand. With these more affordable labels, you are paying more than you would for a normal dress at those brands, so therefore self-portrait kind of meets it at that point, because Whistles, for example, you know, those are like 300, Ted Baker 400, so whilst they're not super cheap, they are then kind of in that self-portrait bracket. And actually, Ted Baker, I forgot how gorgeous these Ted Baker pieces are as well.
My friend's getting married in October and she's got a Ted Baker
dress.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's lovely.
Do you know which one?
It's none of episode. Okay. Yeah, it's a pink one, actually. It's completely not what I was expecting at all. But yeah, it's really nice.
Tay Baker actually has some really good... That white dress with the green things with the high neck. I think it's so nice. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah.
I love the Whistles ones as well. They've got a suit, which I love as well. And you can go that sort of very traditional bridal lace wire skirt, or also something a bit more modern options as well. So I remember speaking to one of my friends who got married, I don't know, 5 years ago. And she was like, if I was getting married now, I just would not have spent what I had to spend on my dress because there weren't these options. So we're so lucky now that the high street are delivering on so many affordable but really great designs.
Yeah, we also had, let's not forget, ASOS in the mix. Yeah, we had Whistles, we had ASOS, and actually John Lewis has a collection by Monsoon which wasn't available on Monsoon's website itself, so I don't know if it's an exclusive to John Lewis, but again, some really really lovely pieces, slightly more classic, but if you want something that's quite traditional but at a more affordable price point, then it's great. The only thing you can't get on the high street really is kind of a big princess gown. You've got to kind of scale the look back a little bit, haven't you? But that's certainly not for everybody. So that's quite all right. Hattie, would you be tempted to buy a wedding dress on the high street?
Maybe. I mean, it's not something I've really thought about, but now looking at those dresses, at the end of the day, it's what you feel good in, isn't it? And if you know that there's a brand that you love that looks good on you, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think.
So true. Heather?
Absolutely. I've always, not that I'm in any positions to get married yet, but I've always kind of thought spending thousands on a dress is just, I'd love to do it, but I just think in the scheme of things, I think I'd really feel rubbish about not using it again or whatever. I remember, was it ASOS who were one of the first ones to start doing it? And they were nice, but they looked like they were high street, whereas now that's not the case. And
so
I think the other thing is you'd maybe worry that, oh, is somebody else going to end up wearing the same dress? But to be honest, how many of your friends end up getting married in the same year anyway? Yeah. And they keep changing every season. So,
and actually there are so many options. Yeah. Like in this feature alone, we've got like, I don't know, 30 dresses.
Yeah.
And actually the chances of somebody could also walk into Pronovius or Suzanne Nevin and buy the same dress as you. So
precisely.
I don't think it makes a difference.
No, absolutely. Now, I think I really can't see myself kind of spending money.
That's so interesting. Actually, I don't think I've ever seen two brides in the same dress.
Oh, I have.
No. Have you?
Yeah. Like, there was a friend I went dress shopping with, and a dress she very nearly went for didn't, and then we saw somebody else we know wear it. I've seen people actually. Yeah.
Is that because of Instagram now, maybe, or kind of just you're able to see more brands that kind of style it?
I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I think there are more choices than ever before. There are so many amazing brands, but I think a lot of people still go to the kind of the traditional ones, ones they know they're safe in, they know they're getting amazing dress from that aren't, you know, tens of thousands. So that's kind of a sweet spot if you want a special wedding dress from a bridal designer, but it's not going to cost you like, you know, half your budget. So actually maybe that's why, I don't know, but yeah, it's risky. I know. And actually Laura went to a wedding last week and saw somebody wearing, she guessed the designer of the dress because it was quite similar to mine, which Laura
really
seen. Yeah, so that makes me nervous.
No,
it's fine. As long as no one in the next 10 weeks wears it,
yeah.
I think that's all we have time for this week. Please do email any feedback to podcast@shelux.com. We really want to hear from you. And also please do rate, review, subscribe and tell your friends. And we'll be back next week.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.